The temple in Jerusalem has been rebuilt. It was based on God's blueprint, modeled as a permanent structure, as opposed to the temporal structure of the tabernacle when Israel was in the wilderness. Recall, we were studying in the book of Exodus the construction of the tabernacle, how it was a temporary structure, and they were on their way to the promised land. And now that Israel was in the land, the temple in Jerusalem was meant to be the place that is set apart for a dwelling place of God, that the people of God may come in the worship of the true God. And you recall how the Queen of Sheba, who visited Jerusalem during Solomon's reign, came, and she was in great awe as she saw the magnificence of the temple. The first temple that was built by Solomon was indeed the wonder of the whole world. It was a magnificent building that God has designed, and the people of God has builded. And this second temple, if you were to look at its blueprint, it is larger than the original, the first one, Solomon's temple, that was destroyed more than 70 years ago. Though it was not as large, but it was more beautiful, it was richer, it served that same purpose as a witness for Israel to the living and true God. And so with the dedication of the temple, we want us to, with our mind's eye, be able to see the establishment of worship, right, after 70 years and after 20 years when Israel was doing the rebuilding program, and then a lapse of another 58 years when we now arrive in chapter 7, right? Chapter 6 was the dedication of the temple. Between chapter 6 and chapter 7, there is a gap there, and in the middle is the account of Esther. You know, Esther was the queen of Persia, and there is a strong link why Ezra came back, or Ezra was given favor by the king Artaxerxes, because he was the stepson of Queen Esther. If you were to look at the chronology and what happened during that time. And so we want us to be able to understand and see the political scene that is before us, and we want to see how the religiously speaking, the chapter 7 begins with a new focus. Chapter 7, we will see the return of the second group of exiles. If you look at your chart, right, the first chart, it gives to us the breakdown, right, the first period of time from Ezra chapter 1 to 6. You see the first group of returnees led by Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. Then this second part from Ezra chapter 7 to 10 delineates the second return. Right? And this second return is led by Ezra, only a small group. The first group was 40,000. This second group, 1,754 males. It took them 4 months to travel, and they took with them the king's offering of gold and silver dedicated to the Lord. And we all know that there is a third group who would return. That is Nehemiah. 13 years after, he would return to build the walls of Jerusalem. And so the Lord wants us to see the picture, right, of the transition that is taking place from the time when they were exiles in Babylon to the time when they return to build the temple. But it was 20 years. And this time when it was rebuilt, it was a time when worship is restored. So as you think about that, you also want to think and consider that these are a group of exiles who were out of their homeland for a long time. And worship was not the same in a foreign land. They did not have the temple sacrifices, but now you see that worship is restored. And so the next stage of life, or God's plan for his people, was to help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, so that indeed they would be the exemplary witness of God's people before the world. So this is the thought that we want to bring before you in this last four chapter. The focus will be on the building up of the spiritual life of the people. And God would send, or God would prepare men. These are the two thoughts. There are two thoughts that we want to think about. God prepared his men, and God prepared his way. God prepared his men. Verse 1 to 11. Our text begins with the reign of Artaxerxes in verse 1. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Israel, came the man Ezra. And from verse 1 to 5 is given to us his genealogy, how he is traced all the way back to Aaron the high priest. You remember in chapter 2 when we were studying the account of the name list of people who came back, how there were those who returned who could not trace their genealogy in the priesthood, and so they were not allowed to serve in the temple rituals if they are not strictly of the lineage of Aaron. And so that's what Ezra chapter 2 verse 62 says. And these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found, therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. And our text tells us that Ezra was different. He was a man that was traced to the godly lineage of the priesthood. And verse 4 tells us that he was a ready scribe in the law of God. He was a qualified instructor of the people in the statutes of God. And that is the man that God would prepare. And so chapter 7 begins by the Lord giving to us how he is a priest by birth, and also he is a priest by consecration. He was a ready scribe. He was a man who was good, or he was had the ability to handle the word of God. And we want to think about it and consider that this man God raised in order that he may do this work of reforming the lives of God's people. And you see later on in chapter 9 and many chapters of the book of Nehemiah how he would have to preached against the sins of the people what was the major sin amongst the people? It was the sin of intermarriage, right? Marrying the people that is outside of Israel. And this pollution was what sent Israel to be exiled to Babylon. Right? When Solomon took wives that brought the foreign gods. So Israel's heart was turned away from God. And so we all know, right, in an unequal yoke, how difficult it is to worship God when the other half of you just would not come together to worship. Right? Every time when the Lord's Day comes, you know, your heart longs to be in the house of God. But the other half says, no, why should I go? Right? No desire, no reason. Right? That was what happened to a group of the returnees. Right? And the Lord had to send this man Ezra to help this group of people come back to God. And so Ezra was a man whom God would prepare to help in the reformation, to help the people in their spiritual life. And you would see how this man, Ezra, was a man who received the favor of God. You would see the phrase, how the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. Right? You see this in verse 6. Right? You see this in verse 9. You see this in verse 28 again. Right? He testified how the work that he is embarking on receives the approval of God and the enabling of God to clear the path, to clear the way, so that the work that God has entrusted to him to do, to reform and to build up the spiritual life of the people, indeed could be carried out successfully. And how was this man prepared for the work? The Lord says that he first prepared his heart. The first preparation is given to us here for service is that Ezra prepared his heart. For a good man, Jesus says, out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so the Lord was chiding the scribes of his time, right? How they were not true to their calling. And Jesus said to them, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Well, this is a man who receives the approval of God. He said earlier in the text in Luke chapter 6, for a good tree bringeth forth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. So, you see, Ezra was a man whom God prepared. And Ezra was a man with a good heart. He was a man with a heart that God can use. Because he's a man whose heart is consecrated to God. This morning we were studying the life of Jonathan Edwards. And we were studying his life up to the age of 17 years old. And he came from a godly parentage, and he had 10 sisters. You know, we were discussing 10 of the sisters all were six footers. So, and he's the only boy. And so it said that, you know, the family of 60 feet daughters and a son. The parents were pious and godly and taught Jonathan Edwards from a very early age to a disciplined and a consecrated life. And he described in his own words how he spent many hours with God, in quiet meditation, in quiet contemplation, in preparing his own heart by examining his own heart in the light of the Word of God. Paul the Apostle did the same thing. He spent 3 years in Arabia. Jonathan Edwards, and we believe Ezra also. How did he prepare his heart? Well, he was quiet before God in order that he may know and understand the will of God, and to understand with a conviction. It's one thing to just understand. It's another to understand and to do. To do requires more than understanding. It requires a backbone. It requires a deep-seated understanding. It requires boldness. It requires courage. And this was the man Ezra. The Lord prepared his heart. And he prepared his heart through the study of God's word so that he may do it. And then the Lord says that he would teach it. The book of Hebrews says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The Lord loves a heart that is true. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. John the Apostle said, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever ye ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So you see that the life of Ezra receives the favor of God. He says that the hand of God was upon him continually, right? From the beginning of the chapter, right up to the end of the chapter, you see how his heart was inclined towards God, to obedience. And God gave to him success. God gave to him favor, even in the highest places. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in his life, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So Ezra's life was exemplary, not just among his own people, but his godliness was appreciated even by the king himself. So he had a good testimony, as it were, outside the church. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:7. Moreover, the servant of God must have a good report of them which are without. And so as you look at the life of Ezra, this man that God would prepare to lead the people in holy worship, you see how God prepared this man. So that is the first thought. Right? Right from the beginning of his life, God had a plan for him. And then God led him through circumstances to mold him, to groom him, to chastise him, to help him to be the man that God wants him to be. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The Lord himself will prepare his way." 1 Samuel 2:9 says, "He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silenced in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail." The power of God prevails with the good man who walks with God. And so John Calvin, when he analyzes the traits of godly men, has this command. He said that the footsteps of the godly are ordered by the grace of God, right? Not that there is any good in themselves, since men do not in their own strength follow what is just and right, but only in so far as the Spirit of God directs them. And hence the second follows, namely that God's favor and approval comes upon such a man. So you see here how God prepared this man by his own leading, right? And Calvin further says, David simply continues his commendation of the divine blessing towards the faithful. So who is Ezra? Well, he was a man who is faithful to God in all his ways. That's why he receives the favor of God. The name Ezra means help or assistance. Well, he was a man who was indeed a good laborer with God. He was the human instrument whom God would use mightily for the reformation of his people. And you can see in Ezra's life that there is faithfulness in this man. And what do you mean by faithfulness? We are speaking about integrity. We are speaking about loyalty. We are speaking about steadfastness. We are speaking about dependability. We are speaking about fidelity. That's faithfulness. Usefulness in the sight of God. And this characterized Ezra. And this is what verse 10 is saying concerning this man. So the question that is asked to us is, we all have our stewardship before God. Have we been faithful? Ezra was one man who was faithful. And you see how the hand of God was with him, because he was a man that was fully consecrated to the Lord's service. And God's power was able to flow through this surrendered vessel. The yoke of God, you know, Jesus says that my yoke, walking with me, is not burdensome, but my yoke is light. When we walk with God, it is not a heavy yoke, but the burden of walking with God is never a burden, because his power flows through us. And his strength go with us. That's why you see from verse 12 onwards that Ezra, every step from the time he was in the Persian palace, the time he was summoned by the Persian king, and the time when he was given the mandate to carry the letter back to Judah to inquire concerning how the Jews are doing, you find that the favor of God was with him all the way. And that is something very significant and magnificent that we want to see in the life of this man. He was someone whom the Lord is working mightily. And so, as we look at his life, we see that such a life is indeed a blessed life. And such a life is indeed a life that, you know, the Lord would want us to live. And God has a plan for each one of us. And this plan to use us for his glory is a plan that God has from the beginning of the, even before the foundation of the world, right? And he has been preparing us. He's been preparing you. And that he wants you to be a part of this glorious redemption plan. And for us to do well, he gave to us the example of Ezra. Ezra was a man whom God would use to build up the life of the returnees, right, with the consecration of worship. Was listening to the testimony of a man who began a mission work called Gospel for Asia. He was an Indian man, and he wrote a book that the Lord has called him to reach out to the people in Asia. And he felt that strong calling, because he said that if you were to look carefully, there are so many people, tribes, that are still unreached in this part of the world. And what are we doing about it? And he spoke concerning the church in America, how it is such a church that is so blessed by God, with so much resources, and yet he lamented to see how those resources were not going out. He was going to the churches, trying to enthuse the people concerning the importance of the Great Commission, how they are to be a part of God's plan. The reason why God prospered them is that they may be that useful vessel and instrument for God. So as I think about it, well, we see that although we have just begun, you know, our church is young, new, but it does not stop us from thinking and considering missions, right? Because that is the work that God has for us to do, right? And I believe that we have resources, and that these resources can be garnered, and that it can be used wisely, usefully for the extension of God's kingdom. And so, as we think about the life of Ezra, he was a man who was ready. When the Lord gave the command to go, he was that ready servant. He was prepared. Are you prepared? When the Lord gives you the marching orders, Ezra was prepared. So may the Lord help us to be prayerful, to be in much waiting upon him as we seek to do his will in these last days before our Lord would return. May the Lord help us, and may the Lord grant to us his richest blessing. Amen.